Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You canna beat the scran doing it, Marco's. This week we have part two of our interview with goalkeeper Lenny Wilson. In this part, he discusses his hopes for next season, but first I asked him about how his move to Peterhead actually came about.
Well, I remember I graduated and I'd already signed up myself to go to Los Angeles for the summer just to play summer football, one of these gigs where they pay for your housing and food and you just have to play for their summer league team. And I was quality. And obviously as that was going on, I was kind of trying to plant the seed for coming back. But I think it kind of struck me there and then that, I've been away for 4.5 years and not really kept in touch with any coaches or anything. Now and again, speak to a couple of boys at Aberdeen, but I'm not under no illusion I was going to just walk back into Aberdeen. So, I wasn't really sure. I didn't really go with much of a plan, to be honest. I mean, I spoke to a couple of boys who were playing down for teams down in England, like in Northern League and whatnot. I just thought, I'm not really going to move to England to play at that level. So, after my summer in Los Angeles, had a good time out there, came back and I was just kind of at a standstill. I was kind of like, well, who do I actually know that's still playing? Is it maybe a case of go back to Arbroath? Still know a few boys there, but even looking at them, they'd just gone up to the Championship, and I was like, probably not going to get in there. Because I think when I went away, a lot of people didn't really know what I was up to, kind of thing. I think a lot of people were like, he's just away for a jolly for 4 years, probably not any good anymore, kind of thing. So I knew I had a lot to kind of prove coming back, that it wasn't going to be handed to me on a plate. So eventually when I got in touch with Jason, I actually went to the game at Dens Park for the Betfred Cup. One of my mates, a Dundee fan, and he had a spare ticket. He's like, fancy coming along? I was like, aye. So that was the first time I'd seen Peterhead and watched Jason play in years and just texted him after the game being like, that of course was the day that Sam actually done his shoulder in the warm-up. I seen that and I kind of thought, oh, the stars are aligning here. I just got in touch with Jason and he obviously mentioned that Sam looked like he was going to be out for a long time and spoke with Jim a couple of days later and he said, yeah, come along to training. And yeah, it was after a couple of sessions, asked if I fancied, signing. And obviously, initial talks really, I knew who Greg was before I even went in, just from Arbroath. I think when he was at Arbroath, he was playing for Ayr United. So I remember the name, recognised his face straight away. And I remember being like, oh, this boy's good. Could even see Steve in training. So I spoke to Jim and he was like, look, I'm not, again, he was honest up front, which is the best way to go about it. He said, Greg's a top keeper for this league and this standard. We're not really looking to replace him, but we do need something to compete with him. Don't come in thinking it's going to be a case of you're walking into the first team kind of thing, starting 11, sorry. So, no, I knew that was going to be the case, and let's be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of other options at the time. I wanted to still keep playing at a high level, and I knew it was a case of, if my opportunity comes, I've got to take it, whether that come in form of suspension or illness or something. But, I was happy just to take that chance and, just get my foot back in the door kind of thing.
Were you disappointed that you didn't really get a game at all last season? Maybe kind of you thought maybe get a cup game or something?
Yeah, I get this question quite a lot from friends, family, whoever who I speak to about. And of course, I'm obviously disappointed I never played. But as I said, I knew what I was signing up for kind of thing. I think the biggest disappointment for me was more if I compare myself as a player now to what I was maybe a year and a half ago. I don't think I'm as good at, I'm not as good at play as I was. Just when you're training full time, every day with a game, I was the number one choice for 4 years. So I was playing 2 games a week. Obviously that has its sheer benefits on your performance and, you were training for a purpose that you were motivated. You knew good training session, take it into the game, just sort of flowed better. But I feel as if this year just, especially, halfway towards the end, I just sort of felt myself turn up to training more just because I kind of had to, instead of, you know, like, had it been in previous years, like, you know, have a good session, so set yourself up for a Saturday. But I think that's part and parcel of being, you know, a second string goalkeeper. You've got to try and keep yourself motivated for that chance that, you know, your opportunity might come. And to be fair, I think I still showed in training that I was capable of stepping in. But obviously, motivational wise, like, you miss that feeling of going into training and being like, okay, I'm going to have a good session, you know, take it into the Saturday, take the 3 points. But no, I think if I had to sum it up, I think the biggest disappointment has been, you know, feeling yourself not quite the same levels as you were. And then obviously not playing a single game, but I knew that was coming anyway.
How do you keep yourself motivated, Kenan, that it's either going to be a suspension or an injury that would have got you in last season? How, as an outfield player, there's more chance of them coming on, but as a goalkeeper, yeah, it's got to be very limited.
Yeah, well, yeah, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. As an outfielder, you're going to get a chance off the bench, or, you know, the more likely to change, you know, a left winger, we're not going to take Greg out, you know what I mean? So for me, it was like, if the chance came, it could be, you know, it could open up much more opportunities, you know. If, say, he got in, he was out for a month or so, it could be a case of, you know, if I have a good 4 games in that month, I could then potentially, you know, take hold of the number one jersey. But it's wishful thinking at the time, but you just always got to be ready because you literally just never know when it can happen. Obviously, you still got to treat it professionally, and, you know, in training, you've still got to give your all and stuff, but you'll always know, like, inside, you're not quite yourself, as you would be, you know, if you had the number one jersey or if you felt as if you were on a level playing field kind of thing. Not that we weren't on a level playing field, but you always knew if Greg's fit, he's going to play kind of thing. And I had no problem with that because if I was the manager, I think I'd be doing the same kind of thing. So, no, just keeping motivated, knowing that you've got to do your bit for the team as well. You know, if Greg gets injured, you know, I've got to be able to step in and do a job. So keeping myself as sharp as I can. So that was the motivation for me.
You mentioned a couple of times there that you didn't feel as though you were at the same level you were, say, a year and a half ago. Had Greg gotten injured or gotten suspended, how prepared do you think you were to step into his shoes?
I mean, to step into his shoes...
Figuratively, of course, not...
Yeah, I'm not putting his boots on. I think it would have been fine. Obviously, it would have been a bit strange. Obviously, hadn't played a competitive game in so long. I mean, playing a couple friendlies and stuff. But even in those, like, I think we had 3 friendlies throughout the year. It's not this sort of shot-stopping stuff that goes away. It's more like your decision-making in terms of, like, what you're doing with a pass back. Are you coming for that cross? Things that you can't really replicate that much in training, that you feel yourself just a couple seconds off. So I think that was my only, you know, slight concern. But deep down, if Greg was not available for whatever reason, I deep down would have been confident that I could do the job. You know, you're watching the sides. Obviously now I take it in a lot more than I did when I was 16. And I watch and I don't look at it and think, in any fear, thinking, oh, I can't play this level. I think, you know, I have played at this level the last, like, 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, I mean, that's what gives me confidence for next season as well. Like, I've seen them beat, well, 3/4 of a season of what to expect kind of thing. So that's put me in good time. Again, if I'm going to, you've got to try and draw positives out of the situation. Like, if I was to take positives out of the season, it would be a case of, look, you know your teammates, you get along with them. I think there's, like, a mutual respect, confidence there. And if the opportunity arises to grab them on jersey, like, I'm capable of doing it.
Was the you were essentially sort of full time when you were over in America, and then you do your part time. Was that a bit of a gear shift for you? Did you find it difficult to change?
I did, yeah. I mean, that's, we talk of homesickness. That was the homesickness. Should be the other way around, missing Scotland, not America. But when I came back, I really missed it, and I, you know, still do. But yeah, as you say, as someone like myself who, you know, loves football, it's when you're playing full time, you love it. I mean, any of the boys I mean, even the older lads who have done it, like Rasai, Dell, Ted, Conroy, you've all done full-time, a heap of others as well, but they'll be first to tell you as well. There's nothing quite like, you know, being in a dressing room full-time, having a laugh, you know, playing for each other day in, day out, doing that on and away from the pitch. It's a special feeling, and, you know, when you're out there, you feel like it'll just last forever, but then, you know, you can't take it for granted. But, you know, when you're back, it's, you know, part-time football. We don't see each other twice a week. You know, being from Aberdeen, we only meet each other once for the training and once on a Saturday. And obviously on a Saturday, it's different. Like, boys are a bit more, like, you know, focused, and it's a game, it's not training, so you don't get much as much of a laugh. And, you know, being essentially the water boy of the side, it's... you don't feel as, you know, integrated with it. So I'm looking forward to hopefully being a bit more of like a figure next season. Cause I think if a lot of boys were being honest, they probably don't even notice me on a Saturday, apart from, you know, a bit of shooting in the warm up. But I think that's been probably the hardest thing as well, not being, you know, the same sort of character. Cause I've been, you know, being a captain as well for my university team in the third year. It's it's strange being, you know, kind of being like a leader figure to, you know, someone who just doesn't play a game. So it was a big adjustment on and off the pitch, and it took a bit of while to get used to. But I mean, that's part of life, is it? Not everything's sweet forever, but you just got to move on and make the best of the situation. And hopefully, this season will be different.
Now that Greg's left, how big of an influence was he on you? Did he help you along throughout the last year?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I met Greg, we got along. I think we both knew the situation when I came in. Like, I don't think he was under any illusions that he was number one. You know, like he knew it was going to take something pretty special for me to move him, if anything possible. But no, Greg's a great guy. In training, that get a good laugh with him. You'll be aware of the boy, Fraser Hobdy, as well. He used to come to training as well. So obviously Scotty Tate, the three, and also Sam was there for a bit as well. So we had a good group there for training. Get a good laugh, good quality. Greg was quite good for offering ideas for training as well, to, you know, mix it up. Because obviously we'd see each other every Tuesday. We don't want to do the same thing every week. So Greg was good at offering them things for a bit of variety as well, and obviously a really good keeper as well to watch. So, and I said it in the paper the other day, in terms of kicking, I'm, the amount of times that a ball moved, we sat there thinking, how on earth is he able to just, in a hurricane, just smash it halfway into their half, you know? So, no, top keeper, great asset to the team last year, won us a lot of points. Just a calming influence as well. So I think there's a lot of things, you know, I can take into my game from watching him and how he conducted the back four as well. So I've got big boots to fill, but, you know, someone's got to do it.
Well, you should feel slightly pressurised. Oh, sorry.
What's that?
This guy said, Lenny, do you feel slightly pressurised? You just summed up one of the good characteristics of Greg there, the kicking.
Yeah.
That would be slightly pressurised.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I felt no pressure at all. But at the same time, someone's going to have to feel that pressure. Everyone will know who Greg is, and what he did for Peterhead and whatnot. So it's not a pressure where it's a case of it would be too much. It's more excitement kind of thing, you know. Like you want to kind of prove, one, to the team, two, to the manager, three, to yourself, that you're able to do it. So that's why you're kind of looking at these dates thinking, like, hurry up, like, let's see the fixtures as well, like, give us something. And obviously when pre-season comes, I'm not under any illusion there's going to be another goalkeeper that comes in. I'm not just going to go with one keeper. So it's going to be up to myself to prove to Jim and the rest of the staff and players that, my time's now. Like, I'm 23. I mean, it's still relatively young when you look at a keeper's point of view, but I know for one, I'm sick of sitting on a bench, so it's in my hands now, so I've got to prove it.
You said, yeah, you're 23, you'll be 24 end of the year. Yeah. Do you feel as though you should now be playing first team football? And have you
spoken
about that?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a different story if I was, you know, signed up with Aberdeen. I wouldn't be saying, yeah, get me in the first team, I mean, first team football. But, you know, being a, you know, up your head and seeing this, like, you know, watching games week in, week out, there's nothing in those games that I can't do or, you know, live up to. I think it's important. If I'm going to kick on, you know, even, or go above or just stay at Peterhead level, obviously, as a young player, looking to go up, but, you know, got to learn to walk before you run kind of thing. So, no, it's vital that I play this year. And, you know, if for some reason, when another keeper does come in, he takes the first choice jersey, I think there's a conversation that needs to be had with the club that, you know, I think they'll appreciate that. I think I served my time on the bench last year. And if it comes to a point where, you know, they don't see me as number one, I've got to move on and go play, whether that's, you know, League Two or Highland League or something. It's important I start playing or else, you know, your career can stagnate and you never know where it goes from there. So, no, but still with the full belief that I can step in next year and do the job.
Given the players that were there last year and we hope the majority of them are going to be there again next year, yeah. What's the kind of expectations you think that the team can do?
Good question. I mean, I remember seeing the league table yesterday, reading it online, looking at the teams involved, and you think, Christ, this is League One. Like, it looks more like a Championship league than a League One. So I don't think we can be under any illusion that you'd expect Falkirk and Partick Thistle to be up there with each other, first and second. But as we saw last year, the difference between ourselves and them is fine margins. You know, maybe I'm not going to say luck, but, you know, a bit of fortune, a bit of extra quality maybe. But you just need to look at our dressing room and, you know, on paper, there's no reason why we can't be in the playoffs. But at the same time, you don't want to be loading pressure on the boys before even pre-season starts about touching playoffs. But I think a lot of boys nailed it in the head in the other interviews that you've had with them. Like, you just got to take it game by game, have you? Every game is winnable, but at the same time, every game is, you can drop points in. It's a very, very even league. There's not a team in there you think, easy game. I think home form, I think we've shown that last year. At home, we're probably a bit stronger than we are away, for whatever reason that may be. But, I mean, with the squad that we have, I think we underachieved last year. I think there's too many games that we probably drew instead of won. And then we've lost, I mean, we've got, you know, like sort of Wraith and Falkirk, it is really tough. You don't see much of the ball on the surface as well. They move the ball quickly and they don't need much of an invitation to shoot and score. So it'll be tough. Obviously, Cove coming in the league as well. You never know what to expect with them. Are they going to be up there challenging as well? Because they've absolutely breezed it the last couple of years. So it'll be a really interesting league, and I can't wait to see the fixtures, see who've got to open up with. So, but to answer your question, I think the expectation has got to be finish as high as we can. To be honest, playoffs, promotion playoffs, that is.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to visiting places like Partick Thistle and Cove and that?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, with the whole dispute that's gone on with Hearts and Partick Thistle, they'll feel a bit aggrieved that they're having to play in League One, and probably rightly so. But they'll have a point to prove. Their squad already looks pretty strong. I imagine they'll get a couple more faces in, loans or permanent signings, whatever. Yeah, obviously, being in the SPL, what was it, a couple of years ago, it's a big club. Looking forward to going there. But at the same time, we've got to go there, you know, expecting that we can give them a game and take points off them, which, you know, can definitely be done. We've seen in recent years, and with the Betfred Cup, never mind the league as well, that these teams are beatable. At the end of the day, the humans, like, they're not Real Madrid, like.
Aye, absolutely. But Cove will be like a home game for you then.
Aye, Bert Lindstrom, Norway, anyway. No, it's harsh, but. No, yeah, I mean, what Cove have done has been impressive so far. On paper, again, great team, a lot of experience, a lot of quality. Obviously, Rory going there gives it that extra bit of bite as well. And I'd imagine they'll add quality to the league to play attacking football. And yeah, be an asset to the league. But there's so many good teams in there. We've touched on Falkirk and Partick and Nell Cove. Like, still got, like I said, Clyde, Dumbarton, Airdrie, East Fife. And pretty much rattled off the whole league there. Forfar as well. You know, always going to have good players. So even though it's League One, there's still a lot of quality there. And, you know, any team could be anyone. That's the beauty of it.
There's quality managers in the league as well, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they can attract big players. Obviously, with the new rules that have come in with the loan system as well, it looks like teams will probably take full advantage of that as well, I'd imagine, with, you know, probably small budgets to work with. But you'd imagine teams will try and exploit that quite well. So, yeah, good experienced managers with contacts with the bigger clubs could come in handy.
So, roll on the new season then.
That's it. Was it October 6th for the Betfred Cup?
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that itself is an exciting time because, you know, you can get the likes of an SPL side in there. And also, you guys have seen the last few years, like the Hearts coming to Balmore, taken down. And so, yeah, looking forward to it. But at the same time, you say 6th of October as if it's like next week. It's still a long, feels like a long time away, but at least we've got a date, you know, and obviously the league's, what, a couple of weeks after that. So, no, hopefully we'll just get the likes of pre-season sorted. That'll be the first thing, see the boys again, and then take it from there, and then go on to have a good season.
Have you got a date for your pre-season started yet?
Not heard yet, no. I think, as I've seen in the press, that I think the manager just kind of getting green light now to kind of get things moving. I think he's going to probably try and lock in the squad first before making pre-season dates. But at the same time, if you're looking at an October start date, I don't know, maybe thinking the start of August. No, August, no, probably September. You'd be looking at before pre-season. So at the same time, still a few more 5Ks and 10Ks to get in before then, I think.
I'll be here before you know it, and then next thing again, the season will actually be started. And
that's it, yeah.
All this is behind us.
That's it. I mean, I think there's some sort of normality now, even coming into life, you know, with restaurants and whatnot opening, and, you know, watching the Premier League and seeing what life's there. But obviously, SPL starting next week, so we've got some Scottish football back sooner than perhaps we expected, but. No, I can't wait. To be honest, I think everybody will be itching to get back. And when that day does come, it's hard to tell, you know, what it'll be like, you know, like new fans or what the script's going to be in terms of if there will be any fans or what. I can't imagine there'll be any sort of streaming going on or anything. So hopefully we'll get a couple of years in.
I hope there'll be more than a couple of us then, surely.
you just never know what they're going to allow by October. You never know if it's going to go backwards or forwards this way.
Yeah, that's it. Right, we're going to end, if we can, with some quick-fire questions you. So, who was your boyhood idol when you were growing up?
Oof, I think it's a bit of a controversial answer. Maybe an Aberdeen fan, but I actually always liked the boy, Artur Boric. Growing up as a young keeper from Celtic, yeah, I always liked his kind of swagger attitude towards it. But as I grew up, it was probably more Joe Hart from Man City when he was in his prime at Man City. Always watching a few games in the Champions League. He's pulling off outrageous saves, winning games for his team. So a combination of very dubious choice in Artur Boric and Joe Hart.
To be fair, I don't think Aberdeen had really had good goalkeepers for the last 10 years, really, so I think
I mean, Jim Lanfield was good, but I wouldn't be coming on here saying being someone that idolised around.
He's a good goalkeeper, but he's not your idol, I get it.
Ah, exactly, yeah.
Reserve judgment on that one, Lanfield. What was your favourite TV show?
What is my favourite TV show? Oof. goodness me, I've lost a fair few, especially in this lockdown as well. I think of all time, it's between Prison Break and Breaking Bad, and if I have to pick one, Breaking Bad.
Similar themes.
Yeah. Same bunch of blokes.
Yeah. Who's the best player you've played with?
Oh, goodness me. Best player I have played with. Oh, better stay safe. I think Bobby Lynn at our growth was incredible. I didn't play with, I was at the Columbus Crew, trained with boy Zach Stefan, who's signed for Man City now. Big goalkeeper, absolute unit, he was unbelievable. But in terms of like playing games with, I think in terms of consistency, just some of the goals he'd score, just unbelievable. Probably Bobby Lynn.
If you were going out for a meal anywhere, where would it be? What's your go-to place?
Jeez.
Don't say McDonald's. Try and class up.
No. I think the number one jersey might go out the window if I say McDonald's. I quite like a steak, so maybe a bit of Woven in Aberdeen. A few drinks for that as well. That or a typical answer, maybe a Nando's. I like a bit of a chicken wrap or something. Can't go wrong with that.
What's the most memorable game you've played in?
Memorable game? Goodness me. Good question. Jeez. I should have prepared for this. I should have had answers written down just higher than stick back. I knew they were coming as well. I think it would have to be... I'll tell you what. With our growth 19s, we played against Dundee in the quarter final of the League Cup. They obviously, being SPL team at the time, had some decent names in there at the time as well. We've gone on to play at a decent level. They swaggered up to Gayfield and we handed them their arse 4-0 or something. And just to see their faces and the way they would conduct themselves, it was quality and, you know, make a few good saves and stuff. So I can't really remember. A few belters in America as well, but it wouldn't mean a whole lot to people. So I'll go with our growth that day.
When you were young, so what job did you want to do growing up?
A good one, this one. I'd say I wanted to be like FBI, like not James Bond style, but like, you know, along those sort of lines, kind of like detective kind of thing. But I mean, I think I probably gave that one up at about 12, 13. And then after that, before I actually decided to do economics, I was really interested in like dribbling, you know, oil and gas offshore kind of thing. But then once I looked into what the geology degree contained, like the course syllabus and that, I just thought absolutely not. Played safe with economics.
What's your career highlight been so far?
Career highlight. I think it would probably be that time frame of MLS clubs expressing interest. Obviously, I trained with a couple, but to hear that teams like LA Galaxy had like voted you in and stuff, even though you had no idea it'd be coming, I think that was a highlight. And obviously, go down to Orlando, playing in front of all the scouts, meeting the first team managers, and you know, playing alongside some top players when you're down there who are now doing big things in MLS. So I think that, you know, two weeks of my life were pretty special. Maybe the end result wasn't maybe what I wanted it to. I don't have any regrets with it. So I think, being down in Orlando at the MLS Combine is probably the highlight.
And the last one I've got for you, Lenny, is if you could pick one celebrity, past or present, to have an evening with, to tap into their knowledge of anything, what two past?
Margot Robbie, probably. if it's not, if Margot doesn't fancy it, then...
If she's busy that evening, who are you going to choose?
Yeah, if I'm too busy for her, then... celebrity. It's got to be someone that I've had as well. Who would be an interesting figure? You've asked this to someone else as well, haven't you? I remember this question's come up before on another interview.
Do you quite remember who they said?
Yeah, I can't even think of that either. you know what, I'll stick with Margot. I think she'd come on a date with me, so we'll go Margot Robbie.
Good, I like your confidence. what kind of music are you into at the moment?
Don't mind, I mean, depending on what I'm doing, you know, when you're running, like, exercise and stuff, I quite like your dance, kind of EDM stuff, kind of stuff that goes on before a game in the dressing room. Big Jace will take over, Adele, good choice of music. If it's not that, then a bit of like R&B, quite like the American rap stuff as well, which probably would go down well with the boys. So to keep a cross between American rap and EDM dance kind of thing.
Well, that's it. Thank you very much, Lenny, for coming on. Absolute pleasure.
Pleasure, likewise. See you guys next season.
So there we are. That was our interview with Lenny Wilson, and we'd like to thank Lenny for taking the time to join us. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and as always, we'd like to thank you guys for listening. That's it for this episode. We'll see you all again very soon.